Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, January 3rd, 2025. First time I'm saying that out loud. And this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 69. We're on the first full paragraph beginning with, "We reviewed our own conduct," and ending with, "All down on paper and looked at it." We are reading and commenting on one paragraph only this morning. Today's readers are Robin P. reading the text, Teresa M. reading page 164, and Julie E. B. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Judith R., and announcements will be Janice P. M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, January 2nd, 2025, is 22048 or 22048. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,050 or 22050. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA, sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Stephanie, and thank you for your service, and good morning, everybody else. I'm Terry G. I'm a food addict, and I am from Pensacola, Florida. And the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, and their lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove all our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening and the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And thank you so much for the opportunity to be of service. And with this, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Terry G. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Rhonda R. in Memphis, Tennessee. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the chance to do service today, and with that, I'll pass.
Stephanie, we can't hear you.
Well, I was talking to myself. Thank you, Rhonda R., and let me read how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that you please keep your sharing directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big to share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 69, the first full paragraph beginning with, we reviewed our own conduct, ending with, all down on paper and looked at it. We're reading and commenting on just this one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Robin P. to please begin reading. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Stephanie. Hi, I'm Robin P., and I am a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. We reviewed our own conduct over the years past. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it. I've done 4 steps, and I'm so grateful for them, and I continue to do 10 steps, and I'm so grateful for them. The inventory is so important in my recovery, and, you know, I came from a lot of child abuse and a lot of dysfunctional role modeling. My dad was a sex addict and a rageaholic, and you know, I came from a lot of abuse and a lot of bad modeling. And so my picker was broken. I just kept, you know, I would date alcoholic sex addict, you know, guys over and over and over again. I'm so grateful to be abstinent and recovered these past 9 years, and to be happily married. And I come such a long, long way, and it's because of these steps and, you know, really working my program, getting the help that I needed to get. so that I wouldn't continue to be selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, resentful, and fearful in my relationships and in my sex relationships. And, you know, I didn't have a moral compass. I just, you know, confused sex with love. I just literally had to get reprogrammed to, you know, and I confused, you know, if he was unavailable emotionally, that rescue him or save him, you know, the Al-Anon changing addictions, like changing rooms on the Titanic, you're still in the stateroom, you're still going down. And I found I really needed to work on my relationship issues because it affected my abstinence. And they all kind of were woven together. It was really important for me to get healthy in all of my relationships. I'm so grateful. My relationship with my husband is really great, and it's because of this program and these programs. And he's also in a recovery program, and it's such a blessing to be able to work the 12 steps in a relationship, have that common language with somebody. And, you know, and also he's nice. You know, I never dated nice guys, and it's been really heart-opening for me to just keep practicing these principles in all of my relationships and to let in good people and let in safe love, you know. And it's been a really long road. And, you know, and I care about my husband and I want to be a blessing to him. And that was never in my vocabulary before. Before recovery. And, you know, and to let myself feel safe with somebody and to be that vulnerable, you know, emotionally with somebody. And I'm just so grateful for this book, for these steps, for all of you, for my God squad, for my sponsor, for everyone that I get to help. I'm just so, so, so grateful. It's literally been a whole new life experience being recovered in this program. And I just keep reaching up and reaching out, and that's been my solution to overcoming anything. I believe
Robin,
that we can. Thank you, that we can overcome anything in this program, and I'm proof of that. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day and weekend I pass. Thank you. Thanks so much, Stephanie.
Well, thank you so much, Robin P. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when your time is up, and please finish up promptly in order to give enough time for people to share too. So if you could please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Linda G. from Alabama.
I've got you, Linda. Have anybody else who would like to share?
Yeah, Beth from Texas.
I heard E and F.
And Deb
Roz
F. from
G.
Deb, what was your last initial?
F as in fun.
I like that. Deb F as in fun. Gotcha. And then I think I heard Roz G.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. And do we have anybody else to get in on this first lineup? Okay, well, I've got Linda G, Ian S.
Hi, this is Julie E.B.
Okay, all right. Julie, I'll put you right after Roz G. So, again, Linda G, Ian F, Deb F, Roz G, Julie E.B. We'll go ahead and start with Linda G, followed by Ian F, and please let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Linda.
Thank you. Linda G., a compulsive overeater and anorexic, calling from Alabama. I had two bad marriages, to my credit, before I found my husband. And both of them shut me out. and my response was to have affairs. And that was where I had been selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate, self-seeking, aroused jealousy, suspicion, bitterness, and caused hurt. And I didn't see my half of it until I did my sexual fourth step. And it blew me away to see that. I had been blaming them the whole time. I had been seeking validation outside my marriage because I didn't feel validated within it. I was looking to my husband's to validate me, and I wasn't getting it from them, so damn it, I was going to look somewhere else. And that wasn't their job. It was my job. And I learned that through doing the fourth step. And through doing my 12 steps, I repaired that. And I'm in a happy marriage now. I'm a whole person. I have a higher power that validates me. And I have a husband who makes me happy. And I'm happy with him. And I have a happy marriage. And I have 12 steps to work that give me hope for a brighter future and a happier life. And I have gratitude for my life. And it's just a sea change from where I was to where I am. And I am so grateful to my higher power for giving me this change in my life. I am so grateful. I can't even begin to describe it. I'm abstinent. I have a whole new way of looking at life. I wasn't in program during those first two marriages, and I came into program during this one. I found God during this one. And it's made all the difference. And I couldn't make amends to my first two husbands because I can't find them. But I'll keep trying. And I tried with my first husband.
Linda, that's time.
Okay, thank you. With that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much, Linda G. from Alabama. Next, we'll have Ian F., followed by Deb F. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Ian F., compulsive overeater out of Indiana. I did a fourth step. 2 years back, I think, when I went to the birthday party, and it was the first one that I'd done with someone in person, and the entire thing was about sex. And I have like my most ancient resentment, my most ancient fear is that I'm going to be alone. And sex is so tied up in that for me. And I actually haven't had any trauma in that area. Like it's not. And I came in very young. And I always look at that as being evidence that, like, yes, trauma and life experience can be a part of this. But, like, I just have a disease, man. Like, I went through all of these resentments and all of these fears with my sponsor at the time. And she was so, like... You know, she sat very patiently through all of it, and the conclusion was essentially like, all of this is in your head, kid. You know, there's nothing uniquely wrong about what I do or, you know, how I am. And it's just, sex is such a powerful part of life, and, you know, that and this romance and finance are the two things that mess us up the most. You know, and sex is just like anything else that we inventory. but it's really difficult to be honest about, and it's really painful to be honest about. Yeah, so that's, I don't have anything insightful to share, but that's been my experience, is that it's really, it's painful, but it's dealt with the same way that anything else is. You know, it's honesty and thoroughness. So that's what I got. Love y'all. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Ina from Indiana. Next, we've got Deb S., followed by Raj G. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning. Yeah, I never thought I'd be talking on this topic, but the last week of just talking about it and hearing everyone else's shares, it's like has jogged my mind, because I've asked my higher power, please show me my issues here. And my first reaction, you know, whenever I've had to do a sex inventory, you know, I've done numbers of inventories that included one, it's like, hey, this book was written by men, and it's not for me. You know, I'm not that type of person. But God has shown me that, you know, my issues with all of this and my relationships. And I know I came into OA just knowing I needed support of some sort. I had no idea what OA could offer me. And at the time, I don't think OA was very clear on what it could offer me either, because I came in close to 40 years ago. And but since coming to Vision and reading the big book only, it made such a difference in my life. And it's all about, it's my recovery. It's not what anybody else has done to me. In fact, the things that were done to me were in response because of how I got the ball rolling, which I couldn't even see that for a long time. And, I just know, you know, I've been sharing with my sponsees, hey, you know, this part of the inventory is about sex, but it's also, you know, it's the intersection of relationships, you know, men, women, anyone, you know. Like, how have we messed our relationships up? How have we done less than stellar in a relationship? And, you know, and I'm listening to my own words, and I have to go back and look at all that. So this has been so good this week to hear everyone shares about it and get to the core. I feel a part of the core of my being, you know, here. And I know this morning I was looking at, just talking with my higher power, and was talking about gentleness and flexibility. That's, you know, that's something that he's working on in me. And, you know, I don't know, I could keep going on and on, just like all of us here, but I could. And I'm just so grateful for this fellowship and for all of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Deb, where are you calling from?
Nope, I think she's.
Okay, I'm muted and unmuted. I'm calling from Waco, Texas.
Gotcha. Deb F. from Texas. Thank you so much. You. Next up, we've got Roz G., followed by Julie E. B. Good morning, Roz.
Where are we?
We're on page 69. We're on the first full paragraph, beginning with, we reviewed our own conduct, ending with, we got this all down on paper and looked at it. And I'm going to go back to inviting Roz G. to please share. Good morning, Roz.
Okay, good morning. And thank you very much for your service. I just did this step again. I am in another program, and I'm going to actually be reading it to my sponsor on Monday. And, you know, it's very good to do four steps. And I really didn't like looking at this, putting it on paper, not texting it, not typing it, but taking it a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper and writing it down and then looking at it. And when I look to see the things that I did when I was 22 and 23 years old, I really don't recognize that person. I don't recognize the woman who was looking out for herself. I had affairs with three or four people, and it was like people at work, and I'm talking about in my 20s. So you know, other jobs. I was an ambulance. I worked on an ambulance, and it was like man dominated job, and it was like guy after guy. It's really sad that I did that. It's a fact. Like it says, it's a fact-finding thing. It's not a thing to beat myself up with. And it was a really long time ago. And I was, but the person, you know, this 20-year-old, 20-some-year-old woman, girl, was making these decisions about who to, you know, be so intimate with. Really saddens me to think about that. And I was married at the time, but I justified all of it because I was unhappy in my marriage. And later on it asks, you know, what should I have done instead? And that's, you know, that's another paragraph, but I can just say that I should have sought marital counseling. I should have been with my own husband, and I should have looked for ways to see why I was so unhappy. But then I was another 20-some-year-old person making a life decision for a marriage that was just doomed. And I, of course, I aroused all of that stuff by not showing up from work on time and lying and saying I was working overtime. Oh, no, it does say what we have done instead. Sorry, yes, it does. I'm just reading the paragraph now. And so I just want to end this share by saying today I have a sex ideal. I don't flirt with married men. I don't date a person. Okay, just to wrap up, I don't date people that are going through divorce. I have a dating plan, and it's very sober, and I date as a sober person. So thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Roz G. from California. And next, we have Julie E.B. And please let us know where you're calling from, Julie. Good morning.
Hi, this is Julie E.B. from Colorado. I was double muted. And so anyway, thanks for letting me burst through when I finally figured it out. You know, this paragraph has helped to save my life. You know, 7 years, 11 months. Not just of abstinence, but of a life change, of a different way of living. And so I use this paragraph as often. I think it's funny. Sometimes people use inventories and they use resentment and fear all the time and not this inventory. I was taught that this was the sex contact harm inventory, that it went to all my relationships. And I used it just yesterday with a 10-step partner, you know. And for me, my life used to be motivated. You're trying to get out of the food and wondering what all this talk of sex is about. I used to be completely motivated by trying to terrorize myself, terrify myself, and shame myself. I used to live in fear, resentment, and shame. And in this paragraph, we get a chance to look at that shame and move it towards guilt. Shame goes with addiction. Guilt does not. In this, where was I at fault? What would I do instead? Or as I like to say, what did I do? What would I do next time? And then, like, what did I do? I called my son to check on if he was applying for jobs. What would I do next time? I would pause, pray. I would go ahead and think, this is treating him like a child, and he's an adult. What I do next time, where was I selfish? Okay, I was thinking about myself and how I feel reassured. Where was the dishonesty? He's not me. I don't know what's best for him. What was inconsiderate? I may be undermining or pretending I know what God's plan is for him and for what time he needs a job. And did I arouse bitterness and envy? You bet I did. when I move outside my ideal and seemingly check on someone, but I'm acting in a controlling way. And so then I can go through the beautiful prayer that we'll learn about mold my ideal. My ideal is to be emotionally sober and trustworthy, not looking to others for reassurance. By doing these harm inventories, not quite as often as resentment and fear, but at least once or twice a week, I can move from shame to guilt. What I did, what I do next time. Where was I at fault? What would I do instead? It moves us out of that darkness and into the light. So if you're in the food and you're trying to get yourself out of it by terrorizing yourself, terrifying yourself, or shaming yourself, welcome to the 12 steps. We're powerless, and there is a power greater than you that can restore you to sanity. Stay tuned. Thanks.
Oh, perfect timing, Julie E.B. from Colorado. Thank you so much. And if you're just joining us, let me just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 69, first full paragraph. We reviewed our own conduct over the years past, ending with, we got all this down on paper and looked at it. And if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Barbara E.
Hi.
New Jersey.
Hi, Barbara.
E. in Washington.
I didn't
Leslie
hear
M.
who that
from
was from Washington.
Ohio.
Who was from Washington?
Sarah N.
Sarah N. Okay. And I think there was
that
someone before today. Sarah. Was there someone else who?
Yes, this is Beth K. from Sacramento, California.
Beth K. from California. Got ya. And who was just after Beth just now?
Justine
Leslie
from Oregon.
MC from Ohio.
Got you, Leslie, and there was someone else in there.
Justine F. from Oregon.
Justine F. as in Frank? Is that an F or an S?
You got Barbara W. from New Jersey?
I have a Barbara E. Is there another Barbara? Barbara W.?
Barbara W. from New Jersey.
Okay.
I was on every Friday last year. Remember me?
I do, Barbara. Thank you so much. I've got you. And yeah. Leslie, what was your last initial? Okay, we'll catch it with me. So we're going to pause there.
MC for in Ohio.
MC, gotcha. Okay. So let me repeat who I have. I think I've got two Barbaras. I'm hoping I do. I've got Barbara E. from Jersey, Sarah N., Beth K., Justine, Leslie M.C., and then Barbara W. from New Jersey. We'll go ahead and start with Barbara E., followed by Sarah N. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, and it is Barbara E. from New Jersey, a volume critical level compulsive overeater. Thank you all for sharing. I always learn so much when I listen. Well, my relationship with my body is as real and dynamic as my relationship with my husband. I communicate with my body through my thoughts, feelings, and actions. And if I feel shame towards my body or mistreat it, my body absorbs that energy. And that toxic energy acts as glue, holding on to excess weight. And when I release these toxic thoughts and feelings, I release their grip, and my thoughts and feelings and my body get connected. Think of it kind of like this. If I feel resentment towards someone for hurting me, and they never have apologized or acknowledged what they did, doesn't that get in the way of the relationship? If they lay resentment towards them, it may be hard to lovingly receive their gift. Well, it's the same with my body. It's much harder for my body to receive good health when it is filled with negative energies of self-hatred, anger, and resentment. In any strained relationship, deciding to make amends opens the door to resolution. So it's true that I do it with my body too. And here's one thing that I did. I wrote an apology letter to my body to forgive myself as well. I don't know about you, but apologizing to my body helped me begin to make peace with it. And it helped me restore my relationship to one of respect and affection. And it's helped me with my marriage as well. So taking responsibilities for my actions and attitudes, anything from those times I overate and felt physical discomfort or self-critical thoughts. I have to remember that I am an addict and I will always be an addict, but there is a program. And if I can settle myself in a quiet, comfortable place and create a soothing atmosphere and write down how I'm feeling, a handwritten letter apologizing to my husband, to my body, in specific ways if I've spoken badly about it, but not to criticize in the process. So anyway, thank you all for this meeting. Thank you for doing service. Have a beautiful, happy, healthy, laugh-filled, abstinent weekend. I pass. Barbara E., New Jersey.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara E. Next, we have Sarah N., followed by Beth K. Good morning, Sarah. Sarah, start one to unmute.
Gotcha. Thank you so much. Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Sarah N. I'm in the state of Washington, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater, and on the phone list at Sarah N. in California, recently moved. So what I really love about this paragraph, I love the first and the last sentence, but the whole thing is like if you're just coming alive, it's your first time ever and you didn't know the paragraphs around it, you would have found out from the shares that we just heard. But this particular paragraph, it doesn't actually mention the word sex or that we're talking about sex conduct. But I just really appreciate the paragraph in general as saying we reviewed our conduct over the years past and it gives such clear direction. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? And then we got this all down on paper and looked at it. And where were we at fault? You know, I've been controlling my own life and trying to control the lives of others around me, telling other people what to do. This paragraph is so helpful to me to really help me just focus what my mom used to always say, just worry about yourself, focus on yourself. And so I love the clarity of very specific questions and directions. You know, okay, what do I need to do? And to give me those questions to work with, and as been shared before, it's like can be applied to so many areas of my life. As far as, you know, what came up for me was, I remember like my sister, her husband, whenever I go over to their house, he's like, hey, come give me a big hug. And there was like flirtatiousness, right? But it's like, well, they're married and they're a happy couple and they have a bunch of kids. And so like, it doesn't matter. But the first time I did this inventory, I realized it wasn't, you know, about like the physical act. It was just that, he and I really connected like on certain ideas and topics and intellectually. And then I could realize that, you know, that could arouse jealousy and bitterness with my sister, which I kind of did. It would sense. It was like, hey, you know, you're here to visit me. And so even though it was like, yeah, I wasn't going after her husband per se, it's like, I, you know, I was single and I'm really enjoyed his company. So, I just appreciate like the in-depth review, you know, instructions of how to like review my own conduct and look at those places, you know, where I'm doing that. And we'll go over my whole inventory here, but it's just super helpful. And it just reminds me of when I go to yoga and they just give me the instructions for what to do. I don't have to think about it. I just have to
Sarah,
follow
that's
them.
Sarah, time.
Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Sarah N. from Washington. Next, we've got Beth K., followed by Justine. Good morning, Beth.
Hi, I'm Beth K. from Sacramento, California. I'm new to this meeting. I'm taking the suggestion of a new sponsor, and I'm really excited to dive in. I am a compulsive overeater and have yet to get all the way through the steps in this program, and this meeting is really giving me hope. I love the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been reading it for 25 years for another program I'm in, and I'm grateful to know that there's a place I can come and hear about what is familiar to me to recover and take suggestions and live a better life without being obsessed. So I just wanted to say out loud, I'm new to this meeting, and I want to thank you guys all for being here this morning. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Beth K. from California. Next, we've got Justine, followed by Leslie M.C., and we'll see how we do with time. We may not get to Barbara W. So, Justine, you're up. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Justine F. in Oregon, compulsive overeater and bulimic in recovery today. Thank you, God. And love this paragraph. This paragraph has been really important in my life and through the inventory process. You know, there's no, some of these things don't show up on my resentment list, but they thankfully show up on my sex list. And there are situations that I got to see in my life where I was acting so selfishly and didn't know it. And it's been really life-changing for me. And it also, of course, you know, translates into relationships that are not sexual, but to see my selfishness and where I'm just trying to get what I want and not really caring about the other person. And I think it's been talked about already on this meeting, but just those times in our lives when we're just interested in what we could get out of people and not what we could give. And I'm really grateful today that for the 12 steps and for the miracle of recovery, because I get to be, like, I got to be married to a wonderful man, and he died in September. And I miss him a lot. And there's a man coming into my life who is really interested in me, and I'm not in the position to do anything with that right now. And I get to, you know, because of the program, because of this process, I understand that I could really take advantage of the situation and get some relief for my own self, and that it would be really a bummer because it would most likely hurt him a lot. And I don't have any interest in that because that feels bad. That just feels bad to hurt people. So it's just really cool to have this kind of change come about where I can see that coming, and I can see that I don't want that, and I don't want that for him. So I can just be, you know, just be God's kid today and say no to things that I don't want and that I don't want for other people until, you know, until God says it's time, you know, or whatever, when it's the right thing. And to trust that process is a gift of recovery today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Justine F. from Oregon. Next, we've got Leslie M.C. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, guys. I just want to take an opportunity. Yes, I'm Leslie M.C. from Ohio, because there's another Leslie M., I believe, from Ohio. But I just wanted to take an opportunity here to just talk about the freedom that my sex inventory gave me the first time. I've been in program. I'm 55 now, and I started when I was 35 and really still a child. And I had a lot of shame for abusing another child as I've been abused. And just by doing the inventory, it freed me up. I didn't even realize that I had done it as a child. I was judging myself as if I had done it as an adult. And it allowed me to really, it really freed me from that. It allowed me to make an amends to that person and hopefully help him understand that, you know, it was wrong what I had done as well. It just helped me look at the situation, mine and what's not mine, you know, that I had done a lot of different things, you know, as a victim as well, just because, you know, I also thought sex was love. I also have any value and intense hate for myself, really, when I joined the program. And I'm just so grateful. I've been, you know, to be in these rooms and be in recovery for the past years has been a tremendous experience, to the point of where, you know, a lot of times it doesn't even seem like I'm the same person that these things happen to. So I'm really grateful to be living with a lot less fear and a lot more faith today and a lot more love. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Leslie MC from Ohio. And guess what, Barbara W., we got time. We got 2 minutes. Can you do a two-minute share?
Yes, I can. Two minutes. Okay, we're talking about page 69, and it's part of our steps in our recovery. Like with me, I've been coming. I was out of the program for a while, and I got back into it, and I found that when you get out and you come back, it's harder. So even with me right now, this is my third year really digging into it. But it was my problem. I don't even have a problem with sex anymore, because first of all, I go to church, and that's the spiritual part. And I'm in recovery a lot, because that's how I quote recovery. But I'm not really involved with sex with anybody anymore. No men relationships anymore. I don't want it. I've been hurt from men. I've been hurt terribly. So I have overcome that. Some people have gotten out of it and went back. We use it. Sometimes we do. We stop overeating. We go back to overeating because we just can't get a hold to it because there's a problem there. But I'm thankful that I don't have to have a relationship with anybody at this point, because it's very difficult for me. Mine was food, and my food is good. My vegetables, my fruits, and my shakes, that's good. And it took me a while, you guys, to even get there. I'm telling you, it took. So sometimes it's annoying. It took a while for me to even to get to where I am with the food. But I have other crazy things that I'm dealing with right now, and I'm working on them this year more. Really crazy, strange things that I do with other people, how I get treated. Sometimes I get treated with other people the wrong way, and I treat them right. I get angry. I get angry, and I'll shoot back at times. So now I got to write about it, talk to my sponsor about it, and deal with that more. So it's like each year for me, it's a different episode. We go through different episodes. Now this month I'll be 70 years old. I'm saying, oh my God, how much more learning do I have to learn at my age? But you know what? It's okay. I'm
Barbara,
in recovery. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Barbara W. from New Jersey. And we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Teresa M., can you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Oops. Okay. Teresa M. from North Carolina, compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. the answers will come if your own home is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Do I continue to the next paragraph?
Yes, please. Yeah, finish the page, please.
Yeah. Abandon yourself to God as you understood God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.